Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner.
Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I am Pastor Steve. And this show is for Monday, the 21st of August, 2017, the day of the big solar eclipse. I'm going to finish up the book of Job with chapter 42 and give the final rundown on my opinions and observations of that. And then I'm going to talk about the eclipse a bit. I was going to get into the Song of Solomon, but the Spirit has led me to do something else. I'm going to talk about these end times and what is occurring and what is prophesied and the eclipse is going to come into play. I'm going to talk about it a little bit. Let's finish up with Mr. Job here first. We are in chapter 42. Job had all his friends come around and castigate him, saying he must have sinned horribly and done all kinds of things. And this was all, I have to cough here. This is all part of the plan of the Satan, HaSatan, to break Job's faith and get him to curse Yahweh. With all the terrible things that have happened to this man, he complained a little bit and he wondered why he was being punished because he was so righteous. Well, he wasn't quite as righteous as he thought he was. And in the last chapter, 41, Yahweh took him down a peg. You're not all what you think you are. And Yahweh recounted all the creation of the universe and all the things he's done and all the things he knows, a lot of them. And that humbled Job a great deal. And let me clear my lungs again. I got that out of the way. So let's start in chapter 42. And Job is going to answer Yahweh and admit his humility. Verse 1 of chapter 42. Then Job answered Yahweh and said, I know that you can do everything and that no thought can be withheld from you. Well, of course, he knows our minds full well. Yahweh knows everything. And that's what we tend to forget at times. Now let's get into verse 3. And it has been modified. And I have corrected some of the verses here. And you can reference Job 38, verse 2 for verse 3 here. Who is he that hides counsel? Without knowledge. Okay. That's 1847. That's knowledge. Therefore, I have spoken without understanding. That's 995. Knowledge is 1847, and understanding is 995. Things too wonderful me, which I knew not. Here's verse 4, and you can reference Job 38, verse 3, for this verse. Hear, please, and I will speak. I will inquire of you, and make it known unto me. In other words, I will ask you, and you can tell me. Verse 5. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Upon which they have wherefore, but it's 5921 and 3651. Upon which I abhor myself, 3988. And repent, 5162, in dust and ashes. And it was so that after Yahweh had spoken these words unto Job, Yahweh said to Eliphaz the Temani, my wrath is kindled against you and against your two friends, for you have not spoken of me rightly, 3559, as my servant Job has. They were still trying to blame Job with some kind of sins, and were saying Yahweh was punishing him where he was not. So that was wrong. They'd sinned. Let me clear my lungs again. Get the rest of this out of here. Now this is what I told you earlier, verse 8, that all of this would come back on these three men. I told you it was coming. Well, here it is in the last chapter. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you, for his countenance will I lift up, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that you have not spoken of me rightly, like my servant Job. They were castigated by Yahweh. And that's not a good, comfortable thing. Verse 9. So went Eliphaz the Temani, and Bildad the Shuki, and Zophar the Naamathi, and did according as Yahweh said to them. Yahweh also accepted, or lifted up, okay? He would lift up the countenance of Job. In other words, that is, raised him up from the dust and the ashes he was sitting in. And restored him basically to his former position. And here we come to verse 10. The restoration of Job's prosperity. And you can reference Job chapter 1 verses 1 through 3. And Yahweh turned or turn back the captivity of Job. And he was captive in the clutches of the Satan and removed him from that when he prayed for his friends also. Also, Yahweh added to Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters, and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. And they consoled him and comforted him over all the harm that Yahweh had brought upon him. Well, no, Yahweh had allowed that to be brought upon him as a test. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and everyone an earring of gold. Verse 12. So Yahweh blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters after the ones that were killed. And he called the name of the first Yamima. They have Jemima in here, but that's not what it says in the Hebrew. It's Yamima. And the name of the second, Ketzia. They have Kezia, but it's Q-E-T-S-I-Y, the sound, A-A. And the name of the third, Karen Hapuk. And were no women found so beautiful as the daughter of Job in all the land. And their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years, and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died, being old and full of days. Well, my, all those people, pardon me for just a second, I'll be right with you. All those people that had abandoned him came back and brought him presents and consoled and comforted him. And Yahweh blessed Job because he had used Job as a pawn in a game against the Satan. And Job's faith was not broken in all his calamity. That applies to us today. He praised Yahweh numerous times through this text. But his friends were convinced that he had sinned because that was the custom of the time. That's the way they believed, that if you had all kinds of illness and you had all kinds of problems, you had done something to offend Yahweh and you were being punished. Well, the term good things or bad things, pardon me, happen to good people. Well, that's Satan's testings. Yahweh doesn't wish us harm, but we have a very real enemy in this world. And a lot of people are, oh, there's no real devil. I'm drinking straight unsweetened grape juice to clear my throat. There is a real devil, and he's still very powerful. And he has lots of minions. There are other fallen angels here still. And then he has his physical children, the seed line of Cain, which has dispersed itself among all the cursed seed, all the Canaanites and the Edomites and all the others. And they are the wealthy and powerful. They call themselves Jews today. And I know there are lots of articles out there. Oh, you're just blaming the Jews for everything. Yeah, well, we wouldn't blame the Jews for everything if they weren't involved in everything. And we've traced their evil doing and have documented it. And yet there are people that deny, oh no, they're God's chosen people. Well, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. And we have tried and tried and tried. And we read scripture, and we read more scripture, and we read yet more scripture. And still it falls on deaf ears many, many times. That's not our fault for trying the very best we can. That's on them. There's something missing in them, and they're not hearing the word. But yet we still keep trying. And we are watching all the calamity and temptation of Job in this book. And even through all of that, this man did not break down and do the devil's bidding and did not curse Yahweh. Therefore, the devil was defeated in his little game. And I'm sure he went away mad and sulking. And he is doing the same thing to us today. The people of Yahweh are being assailed tooth and nail. The websites are coming down. People that tell the truth are being attacked. People are being murdered. All kinds of stuff is happening for telling the truth. We at EFR just got our first hit. A lot of shows have been taken off of TalkShoe. And YouTube and Google, and we've been listed on a list as giving hate speech because we tell the truth. And the truth is hate speech to those that hate the truth. And we expected this. We knew the shoe would drop. Let me get another little hit of this grape juice. But so far, we have been protected. And even with all the hardships, the faithful that truly have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit are keeping their faith. They're not happy. Doesn't mean we won't suffer persecution. It says that we will. Doesn't say that we won't have hardships. It says we will. But all of this is the final assault by the adversary against the chosen people, the true Israelites that are chosen of Yahweh. We must follow Job's example. Job is a setting of a standard for us for what to do under persecution. Because boy was he persecuted. Boy did he suffer loss. House fell in on all his family, and his wife told him to curse God and die. And the raiders took all his livestock, and he had boils and pus running and just sat in the ashes and was mourning. And then pardon me, I gotta clear my lungs again. I lost my breath. Three of his so-called friends come and raked him over the coals verbally and accused him of doing all kinds of stuff, which he didn't do. Well, then, finally, Yahweh chimes in and castigates these three men and bows them down. And they realized that they had sinned, and Job had overcome and humbled himself before Yahweh. Thus, Hasatan was removed from the scene. Doesn't say that in the book, but it doesn't have to. Yahweh stopped his torments and blessed Job and gave him so much more than what he had at the beginning. Now, I know that the Satan was very angry at this because he had just lost. Well, pardon me a second. Every time we resist him and every time we win, it hurts the devil just as bad. He's losing. The remnant is gathering slowly. We see it. We see it in the results on the websites. We see it in the audience results. While others are being taken down, we're not doing memes and using all the profanity and stuff. Some of the other websites have been taken down. And they put up the little cartoons. And that's all well and good. That's entertainment. But we stay right in the Word here at EFR, which is the main purpose of EFR. And we have other shows on that are of a more secular nature. To attract other people that are not CI to EFR so they can hear some of the truth which goes along with our line of thinking. Fact relations, okay? Facts that they can check up on. And while they're here listening to EFR, something else comes on that is CI, and they say, well, I've been listening to this show. Let me listen to this one, see what that is. And they might get some information that'll open up their mind a little bit more and teach them something, and eventually they will come into the remnant as part of Yahweh's chosen people. Because they had the bloodline, they were pure Israelites, they just didn't know Yahweh and Yahshua and the Christian identity message. So it's an opening of a door. The guy's got a foot in the door listening to so-and-so. Okay, now he's not a CI preacher, but he's given information. The information draws the people to the station so they can get that information, and maybe they'll hang around and listen to some of the message. And a seed is planted, and it grows. That's how you convert people. You don't take a Bible and beat them over the head with it and cram it down their throat. We offer the information. You can listen on a voluntary basis. That's the purpose. That's the purpose of my teaching shows and my preaching. To open the door to people of Israel so they can see inside of what's coming in the kingdom. The white nationalists, some of them have come over, because I keep telling people the ultimate white nation is going to be the kingdom of Yahweh. All the opposition will be defeated, and the Caucasian people, to wit, the true Israelites, will follow what their name designates, which is Israel. You will rule as El, a divine being, because our bodies will be changed. We won't have these ongoing infirmities. We won't age. We won't get tooth decay or need glasses or have to cough every so often like I do. Everything will change, including our bodies. The world itself will change. The pollution will stop. The waters will be purified. The air will be purified. The land will not be poisoned anymore by their chemicals. There won't be any more genetically modified organisms. Okay, no more GMOs. By the sheer presence of our Master, He will heal the earth. That's what it says in Scripture. He will heal the damage that has been done by the adversary to the very planet. Poisoning it, poisoning us, making it unlivable, making us sick. All of that will go away. All of it. Everything will change in a reversal process. It'll go back to the way things are supposed to be. And those that are non-Israel, that have not tried to harm us, indeed some have tried to help us, they will be blessed. They will not be destroyed. And they will be allowed to live on this planet a normal human life of 100 years, maybe 80. But they will live on a planet that has been purified in a clean manner. And they will be hewers of wood and drawers of water. They will be in subjection to true Israel, who will rebuild this place all over with prosperity for all. Only Israel will be able to enter New Jerusalem. These people will not be given eternal life or new divine bodies like we will. They will age and pass away as normal mankind does now. But we, Israel, will be eternal at that point. We won't break down, we won't get old, and we will have all eternity with our Master under divine rule. And there will be justice and righteousness and peace. Because the enemy will have finally been vanquished, and all of his seed line on this planet will have been destroyed. The seed of the Nakash, the fallen angel, will perish for all time. No more of them. No more usury. No more money and banks and all that method of control. No more stupid wars. Where they use white folks to kill other white folks. They're gearing up for war right now. The tribulation is on us. You see the violence that's happening in this country. They had another statue taken down in Dallas, Texas. Both sides were armed, but the police intervened this time and it kept them separated and no shots were fired. But you can see it is ramping up, brothers and sisters. When they start carrying guns over statues, you know it, when it finally breaks loose, it'll be hell to pay. The cities will explode. And they will follow their natural modus operandi. And they'll burn and their loot and they'll set cars on fire. And they'll throw rocks and bottles and Molotov cocktails at the cops, and the cops are going to snap. Now you watch. If somebody was trying to burn me to death with a Molotov cocktail, I'd shoot them if I was a police officer. And that's what these guys are going to do. They have families at home too. And there's going to be anarchy. It's going to go absolutely nuts because the Bible predicts this. It will be a time of utter lawlessness. Well, it's coming. And we've told you it's coming. All the Christian identity pastors have warned you what's coming. Well, it's starting to arrive right now, and you need to prepare yourself. First of all, you need to prepare yourself spiritually and repent and call upon the name of Yahweh and start to obey his laws and keep his feasts and his ordinances. And we announce them right here on EFR. We tell you when they're coming and what they're all about. Eli and I are doing a feast days series. And we're going to do that all the way up to right before Tabernacles. We're going to go in depth of the meaning of the feast days. And we've been doing that, and the series is really popular. A lot of listeners. Which is our purpose here, to impart scriptural information to the Israelites that want to hear it. And some people don't like it and they turn it off, and that's their privilege. Okay, no problem. We've had lots of signs. Wars and rumors of wars and plagues, and now riots, and we've had earthquakes, and we've had tsunamis, and we've had floods, and all this stuff. And here we are on the 21st of August, and we are going to have a total solar eclipse. Today, I'm recording this the night before because basically I want to have the day free tomorrow. I'm going out and I'm going to watch. I've never seen a total eclipse. Not a total one. I've seen a partial one. But I've got the little cardboard with the hole in it where you have the white paper, and it'll show you the progress of the eclipse. Now, I want to warn you, if you go out, sunglasses won't help you. If you stare directly at that sun, it will burn your retina and permanently damage your vision, if not cause you to be blind. In certain spots, you will have spots you will never be able to see again. So you poke a hole in a piece of thin cardboard, and you take a piece of flat white paper, and you can focus and get the right distance, and you can watch the sun be eclipsed by the moon with that. There are no glasses that are strong enough to help you with that, unless it would be welding goggles. So be very, very careful. Don't look directly at the sun, okay? This eclipse is going to pass along a certain path from Salem, Oregon, all the way down in to the Carolinas. And it's going to cross certain spots that are known for fault lines and volcanic activity. There have been earthquakes along these fault lines. There's all kinds of speculation. I'm not into speculation. We don't know what's actually coming tomorrow. Pastor Eli is going down the bottom of Illinois where it's going to pass, and he's going to be right directly on the spot. I'm on a line here in Kentucky where I'll have a good view of it. There are strange occurrences when this occurs. Earth tremors, and indeed even earthquakes, rising of the seas, odd tide patterns, due to the gravitational pull, etc., etc., fault lines sometimes slip. There are all kinds of possibilities. Now, I'm not some TV prophet that's going to say, oh, we're going to have this and we're going to have that. Now, I don't know any more than you do what's going to happen. Yahweh knows. But I would be prepared, if I were you, as am I, for some very odd occurrences. Not that I'm saying it could pass over and nothing could happen. Could do just that. It's just an eclipse. But the signs point to a few other things. Maybe this time, may not be this time. We don't know. We really don't know. It's fun to talk about. But we have so many other signs in the world that go along with this one. The sun will be darkened. Well, what is that? That's an eclipse. And prophecy said in the last days this is going to occur. There's another one supposed to happen that'll follow a different path sometime in the future here. We've talked about that on EFR, some of the pastors have, that have done more research. But with all these signs, etc., etc., that are happening, it should be an alert to the people that have some wisdom that times are changing and things are coming to pass that have never occurred before. And that it is time to repent and turn to Yahweh. Because one of these times is going to signal that his patience has ended. And there will be a time of utter chaos, anarchy. Every government in the world on that day that Yeshua returns, every government is going to fall because there will only be one government, and that is the kingship of our Messiah. No more presidents, no more vice presidents, no more prime ministers, no more parliaments, no more nothing. It's going to be Yeshua as our royal master. And he will rule over Israel, and Israel will rule over the others. We will be the administrators for Yeshua's reign. That is what we are designed for. We will rule as El, Israel. It comes from Sarah, to be a prince or princess, to rule, to overcome. We are the overcomers named in the book of Revelations. And that's why Sarai's name was changed to Sarah, princess. Okay? And Sarah, Yisrael, is two words. You will be a prince or have prevailed with or overcome with, has several meanings, El. You overcome as an El. A divine being. You have overcome with, some say, the divine being. Because that comes from Jacob wrestling with the messenger of Yahweh, divine being, an Elohim. Small E-L. That's where it comes from. That's where our name comes from. The name of our people, the chosen ones, the true chosen ones, that migrated into Europe through the Caucasus Mountains, were called Caucasians. Of the seed of Adam, the ruddy, pink-skinned people, the Caucasian people. White folks, oh man, you're just prejudiced, you're a bigot. It doesn't say that. You better do the word study. It sure does. Oh, surely not. You're a racist. Bible is a racist book, the most racist book on the planet. It is of, by, and for the people of Israel. Starts out with the seed of Adam and tells the history of the whole generations up until Israel was born, and then gives the history of the sons of Israel, the Israeli, that's plural for Israel, that means Israelite. Doesn't mean somebody lives in the bandit state of Israel. They call themselves Israeli, but they're not. They're Edomites. They can call themselves Mickey Mouse. I don't care what they call themselves. They're not us. They just pretend to be. But all of that is all. Their financial empire is in trouble. They've got the word is out on them. The Goyim know, and they're panicking. They're really scared because they know their time is coming down to an end, and the time of their father, the devil, is coming down to an end too. Oh, he'll have a last fling here directly. And it's going to be mighty rough out there for everybody, not just us. Be the full tribulation. We're coming into it now with all this increasing violence and the rape culture and the floods, the dark waters that we've talked about in the apocalypse of Baruch. We talked about on Yahweh's Covenant People. All that flood of dark waters, that's still going on. And they're bringing in all the Muslims that hate us. They hate the Christians. And they've been smuggling in arms and ammo. And we've identified the problems. I mean, you know, after a while it gets old. And the feeling of anticipation lessens. We get tired of hearing it, sort of. And that's true. I mean, enough is enough. You know, you're beating a dead horse. I'm tired of hearing it. Well, we're just trying to warn you. So here we are, we're going to have this big eclipse today. And we're just going to have to wait and see what physically transpires. It may have large physical ramifications for the surface of the planet. It may not. We don't know until it happens. We have translated and figured the approximate time of Yahshua's return will be probably during one of the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, the year, we don't know. We're not going to say we know. Oh, he's coming back on such and such a day. That's horse manure. Nobody knows except the Father. So don't let anybody hornswoggle you into believing fairy tales. We have enough fairy tales, but the eclipse is a fact. That's going to occur today. It will be heavily discussed on the internet, I am sure. And if there are physical ramifications to the crust of the planet, like earthquakes, tectonic plates slipping, or volcanic activity, earthquakes, fires, whatever. It will be heavily discussed. So stay calm and be vigilant when it passes over. And if you are near a fault line where possible tectonic plate slippage could occur, I suggest you fill up a large quantity of water containers with good water, because the water lines, if there is a quake, water lines can break and you can be without potable water for a week or two. So that water's not going to eat anything. It's not going to cost you anything. It's already there. You can use it. If you have it, you're in good shape. And if you need it and don't have it, if you don't have it, you're going to be in bad shape. You'll have water to drink. Maybe not water to take a hot shower, but you'll have water to drink. And I don't mean just get a couple of quart jugs. I mean get some quantity of water that you can have a glass of water if you need hydration. This is August, late August. It's still going to be hot, especially if you live in a hot area where it's going to get hot. You're going to need water. So if you're going to be near a tectonic plate that has a history of tremors, safely store up a bunch of water tomorrow morning before the eclipse comes through your area. If nothing happens, it hasn't hurt a thing. That's be prepared a little bit. Have some food, have some water. Be safe. Okay? Be safe. If you live on a fault line that has been experiencing tremors in the past, I am sure you are aware of safety procedures. The people in the area probably have put out flyers on what to do in case of a quake that would cause structural damage or any of that. Be ready for that. Have safe zones. I'm not trying to alarm anyone. I'm just telling everybody things might happen, and it is much better to be safe than sorry. Okay? That's all I'm saying. Better to be safe than sorry. If you run out of water and it takes a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks to get water, I don't know what to tell you. You know, you're going to be hit. I'm ready. I've got all kinds of water. I've got food I can eat without cooking it in case the electric goes out. I'm good to go. Associated signs with this eclipse. And the Bible speaks of earthquakes in diverse places. Now, the word diverse means many places. Okay? Now, this is going to pass over a number of fault lines and volcanic areas. So, we do not know what will occur. I need a little grape juice here. I'm not trying to be an alarmist. Oh, the sky is falling. The sky is falling. No, no. I'm just saying, be smart. Cover all your bases, okay? We don't know what's going to happen. Maybe nothing. Let's hope nothing, okay? But these are the end times, and we really don't know. This eclipse is going to go right down across the New Madrid Fault. Now, I'm not right on the New Madrid Fault, but I'm real close. And it's going to pass right over us. We don't know what happens with gravitational pulls. Okay? They say, oh, this Planet X and all this stuff. I've seen Photoshop photos of this planet and all this stuff. I haven't seen any real photo shots of it. And I have friends that are astronomers that say, you know, it's a hoax. Until somebody shows me real, documentable proof that's not something that they could do on a computer, I'm not going to hold my breath on that one. I think we would see it by now if it's that big. That's my take. So I'm not holding my breath on Nibiru. But this eclipse is the real thing. And that causes stresses that we don't know about. There's so much we don't know. It far outshadows what we do know. We think we have all the science down and we're so smart. And Yahweh is so much smarter. We are just little children and won't admit it. So whatever he wants to do, he's going to do. These are the last times, and he may bring about some serious problems if it's his will. And if it is his will, there's nothing we can do about it except be spiritually prepared first and physically prepared along with it. Because we know Yahweh's going to work miracles in the last day. He's going to bring about calamities. And the order of things is going to break down. And nothing more would bring on anarchy than a national disaster where power grids go down and there's no water or food, the highways, the bridges collapse, no truck deliveries, therefore no food, the city grocery stores will be looted, there'll be rioting and violence and burnings and shootings. And insanity from those who are prone to go insane in that manner. And you know who I'm talking about. The ones who have made rioting their national sport. So that's coming. That we know in the last days from what Scripture says. If you believe in scriptures, and if you don't, then tough. I'm not talking to you then. We know that all these things are coming in the last days. And lots of wickedness in the world today that needs to be requited. So what I'm telling you, Israelites, is have faith in Yahweh. And be smart tomorrow, or today, because this will be playing on the morning before the eclipse. And make some last minute preparations if you haven't already. And if not, just poke a little hole in a little piece of cardboard and get some white paper. And you can shade and you can sort of focus it, moving the cardboard back and forth, to give you a view of the eclipse if it's a clear sky. And you can watch it on the piece of paper. Just don't stare into the sun. That will hurt you permanently. And you can have a good time and have some cool drinks out there in a hot sunny day in August and watch the eclipse. At least you'll be out in the yard if your house falls in. Oh, shame on me. But we really don't know what's coming, but be smart about it. And watch what Yahweh does today. Watch what he does. I don't know what he's going to do. You don't know what he's going to do. The so-called scientists don't know what he's going to do. We don't rate that high in the pecking order that he tells us. He just warns us to be prepared for certain things. Well, this is, should be very early morning preparation. Go to the grocery store, pick up a few things, get some distilled water, maybe, and keep extra water. Get 5 gallons of water. That'd be a good number. I've got a lot more than that. I probably have 100 gallons of water here, all filtered and all that. I don't use tap water. I filter my water. And I'm not telling you to do anything that I haven't already done. I'm just, you know, it's not hard. It's not hard. 5 gallons of water will keep you alive. You don't need to be drinking a gallon every hour. You can have a good sip of water every now and then. Stay hydrated. If things go bad and things get shut off for a while, stay in the shade. Be cool. Eat lightly. Don't eat a lot of heavy meals. Conserve your food. Conserve your water. Be safe. Be safe. Don't look directly at the sun. Be calm. And call on the name of Yahweh if things start going bad. Pardon me. And ask him to hedge you about with protection. Pray to him in all humility and he will hear your prayer. Call upon his holy name. And he will hear you, Israel. He is our Elohim. Ours. And he has chosen us. And we must be obedient and subservient and humble before him and praise him and give him the glory for whatever he is going to do. For he will work miracles before us in these last days. He will show us signs and wonders, as he did in Mitzrayim when we were captive of the Pharaoh. Trust in him. Call upon his name. And he will deliver us. And that's the key thing. Give him all the glory. Glory to the Creator, not the creation. And his will be done. And I pray that all of Israel listens to this and repents. Maybe this will bring some of our fence-sitting brothers and sisters to their knees in repentance. This may be what is needed. Who knows? Yahweh works in mysterious ways. It is just my duty to give you the word and to exhort you to righteousness and exhort you to praise and maybe lift up your spirits in hope. Because Yahweh has all of this in hand. He is the master, not us. And he loved us enough that he sent Yeshua, Yahweh in the flesh, to redeem us from our sins. And more love than that, I cannot imagine. Yet that is absolutely incredible in itself. While I'm down to the end of the hour, we have finished the book of Job, and I gave you a little tune-up for the eclipse day here. So, be safe, be blessed. Praise Yahweh, Lord of hosts, Holy One of Israel. Shalom Aleichem, my brothers and sisters.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.